Next case for argument, United States v. Kennedy. Mr. Nash.
May it please the Court, Michael Nash for the defendant, James Kennedy. This appeal stems from a, I don't recall if it's mail fraud or wire fraud, case in the district court, a plea of guilty and a sentence. The issues are, there are two issues, the amount of restitution and the calculation of the guidelines as to the amount of the loss and the number of victims. In the government's version of the offense, which is attached to the pre-sentence report, the government alleged that the loss was $1,100,000 and there were 321 victims. There was disagreement between the defendant and the government regarding that, and the court set it down for hearing. At the hearing, the judge voiced concern about the number of victims and the amount and the validity of the numbers that were advanced by the government. At that time, the government was claiming that there was restitution in the amount of $800,000+, and there were 135 victims, a significant lessening of the numbers from the government's version and from the pre-sentence report. The defendant challenged that, and then the government renumbered their or recalculated their numbers. At this time, they suggested that the restitution was $469,000 and 41 victims. So now we've gone from 321 victims to 41 victims, and from $1,100,000 to $469,000. The court then, on its own, entered an order, and that order is at record 269, and this was July 2nd of 2012, and it determined that the number was $469,000+, and there were, 240,950, and there were only two victims. The defendant challenged those numbers, and the court then, or the government submitted what the district court phrased as a pile of documents. They're the supplemental record that the court, that the government advanced to the court shortly before it filed its brief in this court. And the amended order of the court then set the amount of the restitution at $316,000, including the victim Nelson, about which we spend a great deal of time in our brief, and I'll get to him in a moment. At this time, there were now 21 victims, so they've gone from 321 victims to 21 victims. They've gone from $1,000,001 for the court's conclusion of $316,000. Nelson presents an interesting question because originally the government had submitted to the district court invoices which totaled $375,000, which the government claimed was a loss and due in restitution. But the witness for the government at the hearing had said that Nelson had told him that there was really only 20, at the end of the day, I think his phrase was, he was out $240,000. There doesn't seem to be any record or any evidence in the record other than the agent's rephrase of what the alleged victim said to support that figure. When the court ultimately issued its order regarding Nelson, it relied on a piece of paper, which I think is an Appendix B or A in our brief, that Nelson had paid Kennedy $247,000 in cars, watches, and cash, and the judge took that figure, adding those three figures up. So in reality, the district court awarded Nelson $7,000 more than Kennedy himself claimed. There's absolutely no proof in the record to show what that cars, watches, and cash were for, or whether that was part of a settlement of a lawsuit that Kennedy had filed against Nelson in Detroit, in which there were settlement discussions. It was ultimately settled, and that document is in the record also. It's interesting that the piece of paper that the district court relied on, for which there's no evidence, the government never accentuated, never mentioned it in any of its briefs, and Mr. Nelson never gave any evidence regarding it. But at the bottom of the page and at the top of the page, it's clear that Mr. Kennedy is sending it to his lawyer.
Are you saying that this invoice from Kennedy to Linden, which has the cars and the watches and so on, adding up to $247,000, are you saying this isn't for the pictures?
There's nothing in the record to show what it's for.
Well, it certainly looks like an invoice.
But I'm unsure what Your Honor is looking at. It's not an invoice.
Yeah, the invoice. Right. I recognize that.
What the court is focused on are the words in the lower middle left-hand side of the paper where it says, I gave you, and then it has watches, cars.
Right.
And that's all.
You gave me. Yeah.
But we don't know what it's about. And we don't know.
Of course it does. He lists the pictures on the right.
I don't think that you can draw that conclusion.
$5,000 missed payment.
I don't think that you can draw that conclusion from it.
I understand you. Not with 100% confidence, but it looks like an invoice for the unpaid balance for the pictures.
You, in the transcript, it was clear that the district court had decided you could not depend upon the invoices. There was no evidence that they had been paid, what they were for, or whether in the context of the lawsuit.
I understand what you say. It's not clear what they are for. They're invoices.
They are.
And this
That's
lists
what they
pictures,
say.
Right?
Lists Pardon
pictures.
Me?
Lists five, it lists pictures. So it's an invoice for pictures.
But the pictures don't add up to that amount. And we don't know in the context of the lawsuit, which both the government and the defendant acknowledged existed, whether that plays a part. And there's no evidence as to what those particular numbers were for or how they were referenced. I don't see any other way to...
I understand you. There's a number. There's an identifier next to each number. Right?
But it doesn't say that it relates to those paintings. In any event, Judge, I believe the record is very unclear. I would say at the end, also with regard to the prayer for relief, that Mr. Kennedy is appearing in this court.
Has he ever sold an authentic picture?
I would say that he would say yes. I don't. The record.
By accident or on purpose?
Judge, I came in the middle of the case after the hearing, but on the record of the case, it does appear that there were other things that were sold that were legitimate, but as recounted by the government, there was a great deal of fraud. There's no question about it. And I would point out that the issue of restitution is somewhat irrelevant in that Mr. Kennedy...
Money, right?
He has no money.
It's the loss amount that's critical, isn't it?
The loss amount...
That affects his sentence, yeah.
Yes, both the loss amount and the number of victims.
And the number of victims, of course.
And
So you're not satisfied with the 250 estimate by the judge, which obviously rounding down from the 300s.
I think that really it rests more on the government's shoulders. The government's numbers were just not there, and from the hearing, the very first hearing, when the first witness called by the government is testifying, the judge says, I can't take these numbers without more. The invoices say one thing. The witness says another thing. The invoices cannot be relied upon. If the invoices can't be relied upon, and that's a finding by the district court, how can the district court then 3 months later or 9 months later rely on a fax? She refers to it as facts, incidentally, not as an invoice.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Fullerton?
May it please the Court. The District Court here very carefully reviewed the record on restitution and determined that by preponderance of evidence the government had proven as to some 21 victims the amounts listed in the order. That was not an abuse of discretion, and we think the court...
That's the restitution. That's not really the big issue. But where does the 250 victim figure come from? That seems suspiciously round and plucked out of the air.
Well, the 250 victim estimate came from both the loss amount total of well over $1 million for all of the years of the fraud scheme.
How do you derive number of victims from a dollar figure?
Well, and then the second part of the computation, Judge, was that in 2005 and 2006, for which there were better records as to the number of victims involved in those losses, those years totaled 135 victims just by themselves. So you, given the total for all the years of the fraud scheme and then the number of victims for two of the years of the fraud scheme, it was a reasonable extrapolation that given the size of the sales typically involved in this scheme, that you would have a similar number of victims in the other years of the fraud scheme.
So the 135 is in 2 years, so that's, 77 a year. And how many years was the scheme?
I believe it was charged from 2000 until 2007. And there was proof as to loss amount, specific fraudulent sales, although the number of victims was not identified, for 2000, 2001, 2002, and 2004, as well as 2005 and 2006. So given the number involved in the latter 2 years, it was reasonable for the court to estimate that all told there were more than 250 victims.
But the 135 were for what years?
2005 and 2006.
So toward the end?
Correct.
And maybe his fraud, grew from small beginnings, and the 135 in the last 2 years is many more victims than in the first 4 years, right? How do we know that?
Well, one other way we know this is that when presented with the district court's estimation of the number of victims, defense counsel at that point at the sentencing hearing said, well, I'm going to back off my objection.
I understand the forfeiture point, yeah. But
and he backed off of it in order to present the argument that the amount per victim was relatively small, so that the enhancements for total number of victims would sort of overestimate the total harm inflicted. So generally speaking, the defendant was in agreement that the number of, or I should say that the amount per fraudulent sale was relatively low, and thus, in his estimation, artificially inflated the number of victims total in the scheme to over 250. So as for the number of victims, we think it's well supported by a reasonable estimate based on the record. Defendant, we argue, waived the objection to the number of victims, and that ought to be affirmed. As to the total loss amount, the government, as I said, had presented evidence as to the early years, 2000 to 2002, the latter years, 2005 and 2006. There was some information from the intervening years, and there was no government in its calculation of over $1 million in loss did not try to project a loss figure for the years in which it had no hard evidence. But totaling those years for which it did have hard evidence, the government arrived at a loss figure of over $1 million. Now, the district court obviously took that in consideration but in finding that the loss amount was over $1 million, she found it to be strongly corroborative of that total amount that the defendant had admitted purchasing over, I think, $500,000 of fraudulent art from just one of his sources of counterfeit material. And given that the evidence was the defendant had marked up the counterfeit that he purchased by at least a factor of two, the district court was very confident that the total loss here was over $1 million.
So did that $247,000 paid by or charged to Linden, this didn't figure in her? That's not part of the $500,000, the million.
No, that's not an addition. Right.
She took an entirely different approach to estimating the loss right. calculation than the restitution, necessarily, because restitution has to be far more specific.
Right, and the district court was well aware of the differences and was trying to be very, very careful in awarding restitution, that the person the victim identified was still around, had paid for the item, had, you know, was capable of getting restitution.
And the major component of the restitution award is this one victim who's variously known as Lyndon N. Nelson. That's the same person, right?
Right, Lyndon N., right.
Right, and he's referred to by both names in the brief, so I was having a little difficulty figuring out who it was, but it's the same person, and that accounts for a substantial chunk of the restitution award.
The bulk of the restitution award was made to him, Mr. Nelson.
Was there any challenge? It looks kind of fishy. So he pays $75,000 in money. That's fine. $150,000 of watches. Was it just accepted that he had $150,000 worth of watches, rather than, you know, fake Rolexes? Or?
I think the evidence from the sentencing hearing about Mr. Nelson was that the two of them, Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Nelson, had a long history of dealings with fake art, as it turned out to be fake art. And that Mr. Nelson had paid for at least part of the art he had acquired with very high-end watches, such as a Swiss watch. I don't know.
So they're genuine. It wasn't suggested.
Right. I think there was an automobile involved.
There was a $22,000. Yeah, well, that's not so. Is he wealthy, this fellow, or?
I believe he ran a real estate business, so he had means.
He actually had. Yeah.
So for these reasons, we'd ask that the court affirm the sentence and the restitution award of the district court.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Nash, do you have anything further?
One thing, I'm very reluctant to disagree with Your Honor, but...
Oh, go ahead.
I would look at this, and I would not characterize this as an invoice. It certainly does not look like the numerous other invoices that are in the record. It appears to me more or less an effort to settle some dispute, certainly when we know that it came at the time of the lawsuit. And in the top right-hand corner and the lower left-hand corner are the names, is the name of Mr. Kennedy's lawyer. On the one side, they're talking about four paintings, none of which arrive at the figure of $247,000, which the judge arrived at. Kennedy is obviously saying, you gave me this $247,000. What basis any of these figures have, we don't have the slightest idea, and neither did the district court. And
this relates just to the restitution, right?
Primarily, Judge, but I think the fact is that the government's figures were not reliable. And so even for loss, which is judged by a different standard, I submit they weren't sufficient for that. Unfortunately, the court had determined loss really before I came into the case, and I was appointed just with regard to restitution and forfeiture. But in looking back at it and preparing the brief, it seemed to me that loss was wrongly calculated and the number of victims, and that greatly affects the sentence.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
Since you were appointed, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of the client. Thank you, Mr. Fullerton, as well.